Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is time now for the bigger picture. And today we're going to talk about investing and how, well, sometimes and it can be quite complex.
Yeah, well, it is complex, in fact. And why investing is in stocks, they say, is like lending your friend money.
Oh, yeah, that's
one way. For that matter, lending your family member money.
That's one way to look at it. They say there are similarities between how we invest in stocks and, well, how we determine if we should lend somebody money, as you mentioned. Chong Se Jing, portfolio manager and co-founder of Compounder Fund, will be talking to us more about this. Se Jing, good morning. How are you?
Hi, morning, everyone. I'm good.
So, first of all, you know, you say that the industry you're in matters when it comes to investing. Why is that?
Yeah, because so it first comes down to the way that I think about stocks. So in general, my idea about approaching investing in the stocks is that the stock will do well over time if the business does well. So I'm really looking out for companies that I think are able to grow well over the long run. And so because of these, the industry that the company is in would be really important. And I think in the article, similarly, I tried to point out the idea that the person that you're potentially lending money to, the business or rather the industry that this person is working in will also matter, because that can affect the level of income and income growth that this person can have over the long run.
Yeah, this is the analogy that's from The Good Investors in collaboration with the woke salary man. This analogy about investing in stocks.
Yes, that's right.
So lending, investing in stock is like lending money to a friend. Okay, for those who don't understand what that analogy means, maybe you can expound a little bit about it.
Sure, sure. So actually, this article came about from an idea that the woke salaryman's co-founder, He Ruiming, shared once with me. And so we wanted to come up with an article that could make investing in stocks easier to understand. And so he had the idea that, you know, I think for most people, at one point or another in our lives, we would have the chance that, you know, somebody will come and ask us to borrow money. And so we thought that, you know, if we could try to use this very common experience and try to link that to investing, it could help help people understand stock market investing in an easier way. Yeah. So we came out with the article, and I tried to use link my investment framework into what most people would think about when they are trying to when they think about lending money to people. Like, what are the factors that they might be looking out for?
So you don't necessarily mean that lending money to your friend means that you're never going to see the money again.
No.
Okay.
No, and actually, in fact, toward the end of the article, we did mention that, you know, lending money is actually a kind of a different thing to investing. The purpose of writing the article is not to, as in we meant that the article was written in a tongue-in-cheek manner, so okay, it should not be taken to be literal. Yeah.
Right, right. But I mean, and share with me your thoughts on this. Before,
yeah, sure.
I would consider any of these moves, be it investing or taking it, the analogy that I'm lending someone money, I obviously got to look at myself first and make sure that I've got my own stability of income. That's a huge factor.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this, right?
Absolutely. In fact, when it comes to investing in stocks, one of the things that I often tell people who I meet is that, you know, they really shouldn't be investing with money that they will need over the next 5 years at the very least, because stocks can be risky over the short run. They move up and down. And so if that's the case, it means that they need to be investing with money that they wouldn't need in the short run, because otherwise it becomes very dangerous for them. So I think in a similar way, you know, like before you want to lend money to somebody, you also be thinking about what is my own personal financial situation like. And oh yeah, just to come back to investing in stocks, and you know, I think it's also really important that people should take care of like their financial protection first. So things like your insurance needs and so on, I think these all need to be squared away first before people start thinking about investing.
Okay.
Okay. Financial third factor, financial strength. So it's fragile, robust, anti-fragile. Can you explain this to us and how one can determine economic resilience?
Yeah, sure. So this concept of having a fragile, robust, or anti-fragile system comes from Nassim Taleb. And it's basically the idea that systems can be systems and organisms can actually be categorized into three categories. So the first would be the fragile, meaning that if a system experiences stress, it will crumble and collapse. So, for example, a very simple example would be like if you have a piece of glass and you drop that glass, it breaks and cracks, right? Mm. So that's a fragile thing. Whereas the robust will not change when they undergo stress. So an example that I like to use is like a ball or a basketball. You know, when you throw the basketball from a tall height, you know, it bounces back up and it doesn't change much, mm. right? And then the anti-fragile would actually be like the human body, because when we apply stress to it in the form of, say, exercise, we actually become stronger, right? So I think companies can also be robust, fragile, and anti-fragile. And when I talk about the stress toward companies, these can come from, say, stress in the broader economic environment, or stress in terms of like the specific industry that the company is in. So fragile companies tend, in my opinion, to be the ones with a lot of debt. So when they have a lot of debt and they encounter some form of stress, it's easy for them to run into severe trouble.
Okay, the anti-stress you're obviously alluding to is the company's got to have significant cash flow.
Yes, significant cash flow, a lot of cash in relation to debt. So that, like, you know, when there's some level of stress, it will not really affect their operation.
All right. We're speaking with Chong Se Jing, Portfolio Manager and Co-Founder of the Compounder Fund. Se Jing, just a couple more questions before we wrap up. You have a lot of people upskilling, you know, right now, and that's a lot of emphasis on that. But you also have a number that are stuck in a job they did dislike for years, no action taken. I mean, how does a proven track record of growth equate to a safer bet if we're using this way of life, so to speak?
Yeah, so the idea is that, so I use that example because I want companies that have a proven track record of innovation and execution, right? And so I just try to link that toward like the qualities that we, the similar qualities that we'll look out for in a person. Mm. So that's what I tried to convey in the article.
I see what you do here. I mean, you look at what you're investing in and you treat that subject or that product as more organic and you look at its own ability to grow and self-sustain in that sense, as opposed to just looking at, oh, okay, this can make me so much money, which is a good way to look at things. We've been speaking with Chong Se Jing, Portfolio Manager and Co-Founder at Compounder Fund. Se Jing, thank you so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.